from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for today's message is today's gospel lesson, especially the first parable. The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, he knows not how. So far the text. So in this, we have one of the many parables Jesus has of the kingdom. And it's not so much that the kingdom grows, it's why it grows. Of course, we call that the growth of the kingdom, we call that evangelism, our part of it, our work in that. And it's important. My introduction to evangelism was at the seminary where I took a class called Evangelism, okay? And really the class focuses more than anything else on technique. And the technique at this time was going door to door and using the Kennedy program. That's the one where you go to someone's house, knock on their door, and say, if you die tonight, will you go to heaven, among other questions. So they trained us in that for a couple days at this church out in rural Missouri. And then finally it was time for us for two examples of this, when they teamed us up by twos. And the first one was a practice run, and the second was the real thing. So the practice one was not a big help because it was so unrealistic. It was, we went to the house of a person who was a member of the church that we were at, and they had to pretend like they weren't Christians. And so we knocked on the door, and they opened up the door, and they said, yeah, we'd like to talk to you about Jesus. And she's like, wow, that's what I always wanted to hear about, Jesus. Come on in. Let's have hot cocoa and cookies. And I'm like, okay, that's, you know. Did not prepare me for the next day. That's where me and my friend Tim, we knocked on the door, and the door opened, and it was like an extra from one of the Road Warrior movies. This guy was 6'6", weighed about 300 pounds, wearing lots of leather, drinking a beer, and had a cigarette hanging out of his mouth. He said, what do you want? At that point, I almost blacked out. I can't even remember to this day what I said. I guarantee you one thing I didn't say is, if you die tonight. I did not say that. But again, that was evangelism. And I got into my vicarage, and I was in charge of the evangelism program because there was no pastor there. And it was basically more of the same thing, you know, knocking on doors, you know, hoping the right person answered, and nobody coming to the church because of it. And sure enough, after my first call, my second call was to be a missionary. And that's about all I had to fall back on, was to make house calls on people. And that's all I did for 2 years. Basically, knock on doors. And finally it occurred to me, why would anybody want to come to church if I'm at the door? Okay, that's not working. And it was really important to me to just try to solve this puzzle back then, because, I mean, this whole responsibility was on me. And it seems to be a very serious issue today, because if you pay attention to newspapers or read news feeds, and, I mean, there's literally hundreds of articles about the decline of the Christian church in the West. Some of the articles are written in a, you know, that this is sad. Most of the articles are gleeful about it. They're glad that it's dropping. Now, when I read those articles, I have one knee-jerk reaction, and that is, okay, granted the church in the West is declining, but the church in the continents of Asia and Africa is exploding. And that's good news, and we should celebrate that. The problem is, we're not in Asia and we're not in Africa. That's not our problem. This is our problem. And so what do? And again, we all too often focus only on technique. And when we look at our parable today, we see that there is a hint about technique. The two main factors of this parable is the seed and the soil. Now, what do farmers do in the United States? And for many years, and certainly today, they amend the seed and they amend the soil. So with the seed, what do? They make hybrids of seed. I mean, when I was, one of my summer jobs was detasseling, right? You're trying to get the pollen from one corn plant to go to the right thing. So you want to cross-pollinate it so you get this special kind of corn, a corn that is can grow in different kinds of soil, doesn't need a lot of water, is resistant to pests and to disease. So we amend the seed. Now, what's our seed? Our seed's the gospel. And many people in the Christian church in the West say, you need to change that. You need to amend it. Don't talk about sin. Don't talk about guilt. Don't talk about if you die tonight. And certainly don't talk about Jesus dying. That's a big downer, right? You have to amend Jesus, change him, make him likable, make him comfortable, make him someone that you'd want to point to and say to your kids, that's an example you should follow. You should preach sermons that are effective and have meaning, like 10 easy steps to a perfect marriage, 10 easy steps to a perfect family, 10 easy steps to a perfect career, 10 easy steps to abundance. Or preach on social and political things as long as everybody agrees on the same thing, which is never going to happen. Okay. Again, now in northern Minnesota, I didn't have that option. Why? I'm a Christian pastor. I'm not allowed to change the gospel. Okay, can't change the seed. How about changing the soil? People have been doing that since agriculture began. I mean, with manure, right? You change the soil. You make it more rich. When I was in Minnesota in the farming community, it was all anhydrous ammonia that they used. It enriched the soil. It made the seed grow better. So what's our soil? It's our Christian church. It's our worship. And how do you change that? Well, get rid of the liturgy, right? Whew. Don't want that. You don't want hymns from the 16th century. That's no good. What you have to do is make it entertaining. Something that's comfortable to people, right? So you got to have lots of lights and a professional band and music that's very emotional that everybody wants. Do you want to make them comfortable? I mean, I saw examples of this in Southern California that were just, I couldn't believe. One church in their narthex, right, or their entrance to the church had a Taco Bell. Now, I didn't have that option in northern Minnesota, right? For one thing, I would have never put in a Taco Bell. That's the last thing. But on top of that, it's like I didn't have any money to do any of this stuff. The first place we had to worship was the cafeteria of the junior high. Eventually, we got into the city hall. The city hall was a rectangular, dark space with wood paneling. Picture the den in the Brady Bunch. That's pretty much what it looked like, okay? Lots of pictures of walleye, northerns, and muskies on the wall. And Nancy will attest to this. While I was preaching, if someone went into the bathroom and flushed, I had to stop. You couldn't hear me. Now, granted, that was entertaining, but that's not the kind of entertainment that brings people into the kingdom, all right? So that didn't work. Now, I was told these are the two techniques that work. You have to try these two techniques. Amend the seed, amend the soil. And yet, it finally occurred to me, well, if it's working so well, then why is the church declining in the West? Because it doesn't work. There was a third option that a lot of churches, unfortunately, I think in the Missouri Synod, you know, are guilty of, and that's the option of being like a farmer who just takes a sack of corn and throws it out into the field in the sack and goes home and expects he'll come back a few months later and everything will be hunky-dory. That doesn't work. That's like saying, well, okay, you know, hey, we got church here. We got a sign out there. You know, they know when it's open. Door's not locked. They can come in anytime they want. That doesn't work. All these techniques, none of them work. We look to one chapter before this, and Jesus calls his disciples and sends them out as missionaries. And he says, go out and preach. Go out and work. And the work he's talking about, it's far more important, not the technique of that work, but why the disciples were called to work and why we work. Now, when I was at the mission church, I'd say after about 2 years of intense, 2.5 years of intense stress, I finally came to a conclusion. Now, we had a good group. It was like about 40 people, real nice group. A lot of them had been previously unchurched, so that's certainly mission work. But it just didn't grow beyond that point. And I didn't know what to do. And the pressure was getting to me because I had all this responsibility laid on my shoulders. Finally, I said, that's it. You know. And I remember where I was and what I prayed to God. I said, look, God, I can't force anybody to come to church. I mean, if I could force people into church at gunpoint, I might try that. But it is frowned upon in our community. So I can't do that. So I can't bring people into church. Certainly me coming to their door isn't doing it. So you're going to have to do it. Now, at that point, a great relief came over me because I dropped this horrible responsibility that was on me, and because I realized it was never my responsibility. I can't make people Christians. That's God's business. I'm called to work. We, as people of Christ, have been given the seat. It's the message of the gospel, that Jesus Christ came to this world because there was a fatal problem, and that was mankind's rebellion to God. And Jesus dealt with that with his love and with his very life. That's the message we have to share. And if you want a technique, okay, this is the only technique that's ever worked since the beginning of the church until now, and that's personal. Invite a friend, invite a family member. Show your life as a Christian to those who are around you. They'll see it. They'll notice. When the time comes, be able to say in a simple way what Jesus Christ means to you. That's the technique. But it's not really about what the technique is. It's why we do the work. And all you have to do is ask the farmer in our parable. Why do you plant the seed? Because he says, every year I plant the seed, at the end of the year, it's grown. And there's a crop. Sometimes the crop is a little less, and sometimes it's more, but Jesus Christ is always responsible for the growth. I thank God that the responsibility of that growth is his, not ours. But I also thank God that he has involved us in the process. I pray that God, through the Holy Spirit working through us, might help us to effectively invite people to our church, show that we are Christians by our love of them, and be able to show them the seed that we have in the gospel, the good news of a light that's come into the world, a light that has not been overcome by the darkness, and a light that brings peace and hope. In Jesus' name, amen.